all by yourself. Thank you. Worthy of worship, worthy of adoration. Blessed are you, immortal, invincible, the only true God. Thank you, Father. We are only here for a while. We stand on your ground, we breathe your air, we do our time, and we check out. But Lord, you are new every morning. The brighter morning star, embodiment of wisdom and understanding. The great, what's the word? Plenipotentiary? Is that the correct Brashego? The great plenipotentiary. Excellent in mercy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You are without beginning or end. Your foolishness is, oh dear, a word, a tongue, even ascribe foolishness to you, but it's greater than the wisdom of men. Who's like you? Who are we that you're mindful of us? What privilege do we have? Who gave us the privilege to gather in your presence when angels bow before you, Lord? The elders can hardly sit. You are God all by yourself. You started the gospel, and the light of it has never been, nobody has been able to put it out. This is you. When you are quiet, you are walking. Before we say it, you've answered it. What we need, you already know. Why are you so tender? You are full of mercy and grace. All of our problems, they're like moles to you, tiny. The world we live in is a mere footstool. The heaven is your throne. What eyes have seen you? Who can fathom the depth of your understanding? You are God. You are so God, you don't need a title. No title fits you, because you have all the titles rolled into one. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Worship. We worship you. What can we teach except to worship you? We just read, Lord, that in your temple, they say glory. So we say glory, 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 glory. Show yourself to us. The sun, the moon, the stars, the light, the darkness all declare you. They're a parable speaking to us. We thank you. You own our thoughts before we think them. The very language that we used to express ourselves was given by you at Babel. We bless you, Lord. And then you have now become our Father. What a wonderful Father you are. Father, you chose to love. If you are chosen to hate, who can withstand your fury? We bless you. We bless you. Jesus, as we look into your law, we just want a glimpse of you, Lord. Eloquence, deep dissertations, commentaries. Nothing can do justice to truth except the breath of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, please just breathe on us. He said to those who are humble, you will reveal yourself. Father, please reveal yourself. You have done it in age past. As we leave this place today, I just pray, Jesus, just a little bit of yourself. He said, you, the Holy Spirit, we take of that which is yours and give to us. There's so much noise around us. But my Lord, just a bit, the quietness of spirit to just receive a bit of you. Give me the grace, Lord, not to mess this up, not to add whatever nonsense it is I may have learned along the way. Father, please let the simplicity of your word be sufficient. You say, who is sufficient unto these things? You are the one that makes us able ministers of the New Testament. That is the truth. Please, Father, bless us with your presence and with the revelation of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. I have no topic to talk about today. I just have a few Bible passages. And it centers on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will start from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. We point out a few things. And then whatever it is, I just pray that you will My goal is that we may remember Jesus. I'm afraid that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God Himself, is silenced within His church. The glory of Jesus, this whole magic, everything we enjoy is because of Him. So I really believe every message about Jesus cannot be wasted. There are so many topics to talk about, but the greatest topic is who? Remember the song, I Have a Friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Who knows the next line? He's the dearest. Ah, he's the dearest. With all of those years in Anglican church, you didn't sing it in Anglican church. He's the dearest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the Lee. Bright morning star, thousand to my soul. In sorrow, he's my. He said in him, oh my. You didn't know that song, Bashago. You used to. May the Lord help you, Rashad. There we go. No, from the beginning. Our message, and we can go home after this, is Jesus. That's it. We just remind ourselves of one or two words. I don't want the words of Jesus to be drowned. I found a friend in Jesus. Okay, thank you. That's another one. Okay, let's sing the one on the screen. Okay, let's sing this one. Let's sing the one on the screen. Okay, I found what's the high one? Wait, wait. Wait. Please, let's sing that line again. Let's sing that line again. Let's sing, sorry, from the beginning again. Let's sing it again. Out. Auntie.
Thousand to my soul.
We don't have the right one up, right? We don't have the right one up. We're not in a hurry, don't worry, but we must sing that. Do we have another version that we can, another lyrics version? He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my. That's the stanza of Ikilemanque. That's the chorus. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the brightest of, fairest of soul, 10,000 to my soul. Of the valley, the bright and morning star. In he's my fault in trouble, he's my stay, he said him all my role. Yes, And the second stanza. In and all my sorrows beyond,
temptation is my strong and mighty
tower. In forsaking and all my Amen. 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 Hallelujah. I've nothing now to fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you feeling it? Any other stanza? Any other stanza? That's not it. And in him, he'll never forsake me. No. Praise the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you know that song? Oh. Oh, how I love Jesus. I declare this morning just again the love of Jesus Christ and how special we all are. When I first came to the faith of the Lord Jesus, it was, you okay? Miss Karen, you're good? Good, good, good. It's because I heard and I knew about Jesus who came and died for my sins. And that love has kept me till today. I forsook my friends and my bad ways by the grace of God. Suddenly, the only thing that made sense to me was to live for this man, Jesus. I wish I could say that I haven't failed him, but I've failed him several times. But not once has he failed me. Not once. And this love of God through his son, Jesus Christ, has built a wonderful church. And you and I, we are now children of the living God because of him. In 1 John, Chapter 3. Let's go there. We'll come back to Matthew later. I don't have any agenda except just to bring to our remembrance some things that Christ has said or some things about Jesus. That's it. It says, look, behold, what man from verse 1 of love that which the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. That's why the world does not know us, because the world does not know God. See what manner of love, the greatest blessing is that we are not just servants of God. Thank God, that's enough privilege. If they gave many of you the choice today of checking out, and you are guaranteed that instantly you'll be transported as a potter in heaven for the rest of your existence. I think many of us will take the offer because the Bible talks about how beautiful it is to serve in the court of the Lord. But you are not that. We're actually Imagine, just for a moment, think about it, because I don't think we give ourselves the opportunity to think about it. We are children of God. It's the greatest privilege in the world. Jesus loves us, and he has made us princes and kings unto his Father. This is the good news. The good news is that sons of paupers, mortal beings like you and I, have been made what? Children of God. Behold, now we are children of God, but it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But this one thing we know, that when Jesus is revealed, we will be exactly like him, for we will see him as he really is. I don't know what your position is today, but that's your future. One day, the trump of the Lord will sound. That little mustard seed, that I believe, that forgive me, O Lord, that I repent of my sins, that spark of the Holy Ghost in you that started this new life, you have not yet known where it will take you. Some of us think it is the jobs that we have gotten, or the children that we have children, or the blessings that you will leave at the grave. I've seen some of our parents die, and some of the homes in choice neighborhoods that we grew up in, they've left them. We don't even want to go back there. We've seen the end of all excellence. We've been seen the end of all jobs. We've seen the end of all money. But there's no end to what we have inherited through Jesus as Savior. I just want to make sure that these things are not tembeled. You can check the dictionary for that. Oh, Barakimoy, you are so special. And we need to remind ourselves. We need to treasure ourselves. I see that Charles of a boy. What's his name? Charles and Andrew. Andrew and Matthew. Matthew, the ones from England. Harry and Charles. Harry and the gingerhead. The William, gingerhead. Yeah. Okay, whichever one. I see them. He carries himself as a cut above the rest. And I said to myself, what did this man invent in life? Nothing. It's just by virtue of his birth. And everybody agrees that he's special by virtue. If he was to have been born to some whiner in Kentucky, we will not know his name. But because of who he was, he's on CNN. They carry camera. The only thing he's contributed is that he has the good fortune to have been born by somebody. The only thing we carry is that we have the good fortune to have been born by the Holy Spirit, and the heavens and the earth celebrate us. I don't know how you feel this morning, but I magnify the gift of God in you. God sees you. He called you. He separated you. And the cloud, I don't care what the crisis is. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care your estate today. The cloud will split open and the heavens will celebrate you because of Jesus. Do you know how precious you are? This is the good news, brothers and sisters. It's not a mean thing. We did not agree to be born again. It has nothing to do with us. God could have preferred, he could have picked better people. There are so many brilliant engineers in Saudi Arabia that he could have gifted because of their brilliance. So many more beautiful, beautiful, beautiful women. So you are not picked because of how beautiful you are. You are not picked because you are tall, because you are short, or there's something, or you somehow decided to believe in the Lord as though you did him a favor. Till tomorrow, you will get to heaven. That's when you say, Lord, what did you see in me? Why me? That is the definition of grace, because there's no answer to it. But he has chosen you. Let it just be sufficient for you to know that of all of your father's children, you have been picked the way that, who was it? Was it Joseph that was picked and beloved of his father, although there were 12 of them? No explanation. Is it sufficient for you, brothers and sisters, that the heavens know you? That mystery of the kingdom of God and the world to come, the beauty and the majesty of Jehovah that professors do not understand, that the academics, I told you that I will watch, we will watch Jeopardy. Do you know the most difficult topic category in Jeopardy? Bible. Check it. They know astronomy, they know this, they know geography, but once there's a Bible category, even question that Moradeke could answer, these brilliant guys cannot. Because what? What has been revealed to babes and sucklings, he has, that no man may glory before him. I just want you to leave church today. In case you are feeling a little sorry for yourself, in case life has come down on you, in case you feel God is far from you, I want you to take a glimpse at your future. David said something in Psalm, is it 83 or 73? He said, my life has been so hard. He said, I looked at all the people who do not even believe. They are wealthy, they are well-to-do, their children are doing well. He said, there's a band at their funeral. The one that made me laugh, if you read that Psalm, I don't believe it's 73 or 83. He said, they even named streets after them. Meanwhile, you, that you pray every day, how many streets are they named after you? You enter the same events with them, they hail them. Their clothes are beautiful. Everything they seem to lay their hands on seem to prosper, but for your own, it's toil every time. He said, my heart almost fainted. And I said to myself, is this righteousness thing worth it? The way he put it was that I have washed my hand in innocency for nothing. He said his heart was discouraged because people who don't even come to church like you are the ones that sign your paycheck. So who tell who? Who is more blessed? Is it you or the person that signs your paycheck? It doesn't just add up. The math just wasn't mathing, right? He said, but the Lord took me to his temple and he showed me their end. Then he said, Lord, surely you have set them in a slippery place. If the Lord was to take you to his temple and show you the end of the world and then your own end, you will bow. And that's the fulfillment of the scripture, that when they slap your left, that's when you'll be pleased. Slap it again. I'm going home. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we must remind one another how special we are, so that we are not, none of us, falls into the deceitfulness of sin. It is our job until Jesus comes to remind ourselves. Let's remind ourselves of the resurrection and the promises and the ascension of Jesus Christ. If not, we will start pining over the things of this world. God's promises are yea and they are amen. And it is well with all of us. I just want to magnify Christ this morning and to remind you that his promises will come to pass. Let's switch to Matthew. Just before we close, I'd just like to remind us of a few words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, real quick. With our introduction, just a few statements and then we can. Sister Bolalina, I know how you read your Bible. Technology read. Jesus, having paid all the price. By the way, what's the Great Commission? And where is it found? Anybody? Matthew, just the last chapter of Matthew, the last chapter of Mark. That's how I remember it. In the last chapter of Mark, he said we should go into the world, make disciples. And Matthew. Matthew added one thing. He said, we should make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Matthew added one thing. He said, we should also teach them all things whatsoever he has commanded us. It is our duty to teach the things that Jesus has commanded us, because he's gone to the Father and he's coming back. So what are those things? He said here from verse 24, chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain comes down, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And that house did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. But anyone who hears the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ, he hears them, but he does not do them. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descends, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and the fall was great. That's what we're seeing a lot today. So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, because he taught them as one having authority and not just as a lecturer. Here Jesus is teaching us that it's not, and James reminded us, it's not how much sermon you hear. The internet, YouTube is replete with sermons. There's so much good message today. Go to sermonindex.com. It can give you sermons from the 15th century until now. Audio, we don't even need to read them. They can be read to us. It is how much of these sermons we actually put into action in our day-to-day life. The Lord said to Pharisees and Sadducees, and he warned us not to be like them. He said, they are forever hearing and learning, but they are never coming to the knowledge of the truth. May we not be like that in Jesus' name. That blessed promise, that gladness at the appearing of Jesus is for those who obey them. Please, anything you read in your personal devotion in the morning, please do not ignore it. Because of what Jesus just said to us. He said it himself. He said, those who hear, who read their Bible but don't do it, they are builders. There are two kinds of builders. The first kind of builder is the builder that's building on a solid foundation. But you see, the truth is, you really don't know. They are all carrying cement. They are all paying laborers. You just see the structure going up. They are both beautiful structures. They all attend church. They are all active in different ministries. You see the structure. They are builders. Yet, one building will stand, another one will not stand. The building that stands is not the building that we just see. It's the one that's founded on the obedience of God's word. Please, be a builder. Be the kind, let your building be able to stand the test of time. Anytime you read in the Psalms or you read in the epistles, Jesus says something. Be a doer. Separate yourself from the multitude. Separate yourself from the group of builders who are building on sand. When you look at some estates, you go and inspect, you want to buy. All you see is the building. You don't know what material they have built of. Because what? They are all painted. And if you don't, in fact, it's like buying a car. You don't know. They've painted, all these dealers, be very careful. They will detail it. They will paint it. It will look new. You don't know you're buying a lemon. Some people are building their Christian faith today and they're working very hard, but they are building on sand. May we not build on sand in Jesus' name. Be doers of the works, not hearers alone, deceiving yourself. This was important to our Savior Jesus Christ. So he told his disciples did this. And I just wanted to point that out. More as we close today. Matthew 12. I'd like to show you one character. Like I said, there's no real agenda today. It's just, please remember these few words. Matthew 12, 46. It's in my heart to point this out. Jesus, he says, while he was still talking to the multitude, behold, Jesus' mother, I guess Mary, and his brothers, they stood outside seeking to speak with Jesus. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said, "What to them? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand towards all of us. "Here are my mother and my brother. Whoever does what? Does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." How many of us here can say we're doing the will of his Father in heaven? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Please, our time is now. Dedicate yourself to doing the will of his Father. Jesus loves those who do the will of his Father. He said, those are his brothers. Those are his mothers. It's not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord." It's not everybody that sings. It's not everybody that preaches. Those who actually do the will, not their own will. He himself said, "Nevertheless, I've not come to do my will, but the will of God." Make sure you have room in your heart that's exclusive for doing the will of God. Not a lot of people on earth want to do that. Only children of God will want to do that. He said, although he is a king, although he's the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the brighter morning star, the biggest name in all existence, he points to you and I and how Jesus delights in his relationship with you and me. Can you imagine this ordinary brother Shegun with all his PhD, the certificate that he won't even carry to heaven? Every accomplishment that he has, and he has plenty of them. He has written books. I've not been able to read the books he gave me. I started it, but my head was busting. The big, big grammar that he put into it. All of that means nothing. His greatest asset is that Jesus calls him a brother, and you dare not mess with him. He that messes with this man messes with the apple of God's eyes. And you, and you, and you. God loves us. He calls us brother. El Shaddai, the Rose of Sharon. He that commanded and the sun stood still, says, "Brother, Tunde is his brother. How can that one be his brother?" And he's his brother. You better not mess with him, because you mess with Jesus' brother. You better not mess with her, because you mess with Jesus's. I just want our mindset. It has nothing to do with Sister Ejiro. It has nothing to do. It's the Spirit that brings her to the Father. You are all special. That's why husbands, I pray that husbands and wives will be brothers and sisters in Christ as well. You people act like you know yourself so much, the familiarity now causes contempt. These people belong to Jesus. May the Lord bless us. Our time here is not long, brethren. We will go home. Let's prepare for home. He says, "My brother." He looked at his biological father. I was saying to Brother Peter the other time, you know this will come up in sermon at some point, right? Saying to Brother Peter, I said, "Brother, let me spare him." He and I had a discussion. Okay, because it's useful. I said, "Brother Peter, you're my brother." I said, "Yes, he's my brother." I said, Folu. I said, "If I have accounting, if Folu has accounting job, will you charge him?" Brother Peter said, "Well, that's not true. If you are doing accounting job for yourself, will you charge yourself?" He said, "No." I said, "How come? Am I not your brother? How come you will charge me?" "What?" "What did he say?" I said, "How come you will charge me? Isn't the blood of Jesus thicker?" We said blood is thicker than water, but isn't spirit thicker than blood? Why do we call ourselves brother, 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 and we don't act like we are brothers? Is that less? Me, my Christianity, what means something to me? But it's as if we adopt words and it means nothing. I call Brother Usman brother, but he's not really my brother. I'm lying. But what Jesus wants is that we say what we mean and we mean what he says. That's why he demonstrated it. Say, who is my brother? Some people came to me and say, your real mother, your real brother, they want to see you. You ought to give priority over them to this. Then what did Jesus teach us here? Why did he say this? He said, don't you guys get me? I'm teaching a higher level here. Who are my brothers and sisters? This. May the Lord help us as a church. I don't mean us New Covenant. I mean worldwide, to see ourselves the way Jesus sees us. May our words be true to one another. So I wanted to point that out about Jesus Christ. There's one more thing, if you bear with me, that I wrote down. There's no other thing. Let us pray. These little things that we have learned, Lord, to act on your word, not to be hearers alone. To mean what we say, to know you mean what you say about loving us, to know who we truly are, so that we have strength, we will have an identity in this world. Baba, help us with it. We need your help. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.